Lord, we thank you so much. Your love is overwhelming. You're so good to us. You're so loving. So we worship you, Lord. We say thank you today. Let's give God a clap of praise for his goodness. He's so good. Go ahead and take a seat. Great to see you this morning. My name's Terry Payne and my wife's Tanya. We're the newbies here at Sand Springs Family. I say a family because this is a family. Amen. Amen. We love what God's doing here. In fact, when Brother Eric asked us to pray about joining the family here, as we prayed about it, God made it very clear he's sending us here to join a family. Amen. So we know that families are sticky. Families stick together. But what is taking place here, Tanya and I have talked about this. What's happening here at Sand Springs Church and in this community and the surrounding little towns, this is not normal. Yeah. We've been in a lot of churches. If I say Jesus, you get all excited. There's some churches I say Jesus, and they sit there and stare at me. But I can tell you guys have a deep love for the Lord, and this is a special place. Amen. Yeah. Now, we've been close friends with Eric and Christy for a while. And what you see here on Sundays and Wednesdays, a deep love for Jesus and a deep love for the church, those are the same folks that we fished with and spent time with. They love Jesus and they love people. They have Jesus just coming through them. So we're so thankful for them. In fact, we want to honor them. They're watching right now. So let's honor our pastors in the house. So thankful for Eric and Christy. It's Pastor Eric's birthday today, so shoot him a text. Buy him some cookies, put some fishing hooks on his desk or something. We're thankful for him. Well, I hope you're ready to hear a word from the Lord and not hear a word from Terry, because I've really got nothing good to say other than Lord ringing me out. My prayer is, Lord, would you, this week I've been praying, he's dipped me, I feel like he's dipped me in a bucket of his presence, and he's going to ring me out, so would you receive the word he has for you this morning, amen? Let's pray. Lord, would you speak to us? We're listening. Amen. We're going to open up in John chapter 8. And this is John 8, verse 31. This is Jesus speaking. It says, then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Everybody say free.
Free.
Free. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. You see, Jesus wasn't just about salvation. He was about us walking in freedom. Amen. See, you could be saved and dealing with a lot of stuff. And that stuff can be dealt with now, or it can follow you into heaven where it'll be dissolved instantly. But what if we learn to walk as free disciples, not just saved, but free disciples here on earth? Amen? Because we serve a good God that paid a big price for us to be saved and set free completely. Sometimes as Christians, we get confused. We think, when I got saved, all that stuff evaporates. But why am I still dealing with some past pain in my life? In fact, I know Christians that have walked away from the faith because they said Jesus didn't work for me. I would say you didn't give Jesus that pain in your life. You held on to it. But Jesus wants to deal with that stuff in our life. He's concerned about his disciples. We're going to look at Peter today in a minute, how he wanted to restore Peter, because Peter couldn't be the rock until Peter was fixed. Amen? We serve a good God that's about revealing and healing. That's the title of today's message. God reveals to heal. Aren't you glad that God calls us disciples? You know what a disciple is? It's someone that follows a teacher. You can be a disciple of Muhammad, but we're a disciple of Jesus. He's our teacher, and he has a good word for us. He says, disciples follow him, and they help other people follow him. It's a two-part commandment. It's the Great Commission. Your number one assignment as a Christian is not to be saved. Your number one assignment as a Christian is to follow Jesus and to help other people follow Jesus through scripture, prayer, word, encouragement. Amen. Take a look at Matthew 4:19. Then he said to them, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. Everybody say fishers.
Fishers.
Did you know that God calls you a fisher? You're a fishers of men. Some of you don't like fishing. I like to fish. Caught my first bass yesterday in Athens. 10 minutes later, my line broke and I was done. But anyways. But God calls us fishers. Today's message is to help us understand what it truly means to be a fisher of men. See, you can't truly fish for other people if you're broken up inside. That's why Jesus is about inner healing. I know many of you fish here. Raise your hand if you like to fish. Amen. Some of you like to fish. I do too. Last week, I was giving Brother Eric a free fishing lesson. teaching them how to do it right. I'm just teasing. That sucker says, fishy, fishy, jump in the boat, and they jump in the boat. It's crazy. I'm not playing. He catches 10 fish, I catch two, and I'm pretty competitive. I got a problem with that. So one of these days, I'm going to kick him out of the boat and take off in his own boat. Anyways. But you know, when you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, he put his spirit in you, you became a fisher of men. See, but fish know this. They know fake bait. If I'm not using the right lure to catch them, they swim up to it, they recognize that it doesn't look real, and they swim away. That's the truth. If you're fishing for other people and you've got hurts inside of you, and you wonder, God, why can't I lead people to Christ? Well, listen, you give away what you have. Why would somebody want what you want if you're broken up?
That's right.
So God wants us healed and set free so we can point other people to him without. It's not about you being perfect, but it's about you walking in freedom. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. God's about freedom. There's a saying that you've heard that you give away what you have. You give away. So if you have past pain in your life from stuff and trauma that you've gone through, I'm going to share some of my stuff with you today. You give that away. You don't want to, but you just give it away. You don't mean to, but that's what you give away. When you get squeezed, that's what comes out.
Yeah.
Have you ever met a grumpy Christian?
Yeah.
Man, they're just grumpy. They don't mean to be. I know they love Jesus. They're not faking it, but they're just grumpy. I would say they've got some stuff inside that God needs to heal.
Yeah.
Grumpy Christian, moody Christian, right? Remember, Jesus paid a big price for your salvation, but for your freedom. He wants his kids, sons and daughters, walking in freedom. But salvation is instant. A disciple in the process of freedom, it can be a process.
Yeah.
As God teaches you, as you mature in your walk with Christ, he'll bring something else up that he wants to touch and heal instantly. Okay? So we see this in the life of Peter. Peter was one of Jesus' closest friends and strongest disciple. He was very vocal about what the Lord is doing in his life. But Peter was broken up inside from something that took place that he did to himself. You see, he told Jesus, I will not deny you. And then we see Peter did not deny Jesus three different times, right? He didn't want to. And we see this. So let's jump into this. This is Luke chapter 22, verse 60 and 61. So if you have, you can turn to Luke chapter 22, 60 and 61. Peter's in the courtyard right before Jesus goes to the cross. People are recognizing, hey, aren't you one of his followers? And Peter says, nope, not me. I don't know that guy. Take a look here. But Peter said, man, I do not know what you are saying. Immediately while he was still speaking, the rooster crowed, and the Lord turned and looked at Peter. Then Peter remembered the word of the Lord and how he had said to him, before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times. So Peter went out and wept bitterly. Wow. Can you imagine that? Picture your closest best friend, that doesn't compare to Jesus, but your closest best friend, and they hear you deny that you know them. And there's eye contact that takes place between Peter and Jesus. And that cut inside Peter deeply. And Peter goes back to what he was familiar with, because that's what takes place. When you have a wound inside, the lie from the enemy, and he wants you to take his bait, just go back to what you're familiar with. And Peter goes back to fishing, not for people, because that was his assignment. He goes back to fishing for regular old fish. The problem is, Jesus has already called it out, his identity out in him. He said, you're a rock. But Peter can't be a rock if he's busted up inside, and Jesus knows this. So after Jesus dies on the cross, he comes out of the grave, right? And he meets Peter on the shore. And this is where we're going to pick up, because he's about to restore Peter. Remember, Jesus reveals to heal. Amen? So take a look at Luke 22, 16, 61. Oh, I already read that. I'm sorry. John 22, verse 15. Go ahead and turn to John 21. I'll get it right. I need another donut. 15 through 17. Here we go. So here's Jesus about to meet with Peter. And he says this. He says, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these? Here's Peter. He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, feed my lambs. He said to him again a second time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, tend my sheep. He said to him the third time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? Peter was grieved in that moment. Because what happened, it was like a light bulb switched on Peter. Jesus saw me. He knew what I did. But in this moment, there's a holy exchange taking place between Jesus and Peter. And in that moment, he is restoring Peter. I see you, but I still love you, Peter, and you got an assignment to finish. You got to quit fishing for little fish. I need you fishing for men. You got to be the rock that I called you. Aren't you glad that we serve a God that there's holy exchanges that take place in our walks as disciples? What took place in that moment is that Jesus took Peter's pain and he replaced it for his assignment again in his love and acceptance. Everybody say restore. Because when you fail or someone hurts you and there's pain inside, Jesus will restore you when you give it back to him. Amen? That's who we serve. There's forgiveness, and we see confirmation of Peter's assignment. There's restoration. We serve a God that heals. So we know that Jesus meets us, he heals us, and he restores us. He meets us, he heals us. That's why it's so important for worship. Guys, when you are in the middle of worship, if you step in and focus on Jesus, you'll encounter Jesus where you'll meet him even during worship, whether it be at a congregational setting or in your quiet time setting. There's a meeting, there's a healing, and there's a restoring. God's healed me a lot of stuff in my one-on-one quiet time with him. Amen? So here's some emotional facts. These are true. These are all true statements that life hurts. You're going to deal with some pain. No one is immune to pain. Known as me, many of you have gone through some stuff way more deeper and more hurtful than what I'm going to share with you today. But all of us are going to deal with stuff in our life. The second fact is this: unless you deal with pain properly, it will sit inside you and affect you. It'll affect you. It'll affect other people around you. It'll affect the church that you're in, the community that you're in. It'll sit inside you. See, we are carried to hold the presence of God. God calls us a temple that holds his presence. The issue with this, the devil knows you hold things too. Yeah. And if you don't take that thought captive when you mess up and he says, you're a loser, you'll function from that wound. I am a loser. God will say, I need you to go do this. No, Lord, pick someone else. Someone that's not a loser. Because you know I mess up. I'm dealing with... No. But if God's speaking to people, as even I'm speaking about, he's bringing some things to mind that you're holding on to that he wants you to give to him today to be healed. Amen. Amen? The third fact is this: time heals nothing. The devil wants you to think if you just wait it out, it'll go away. That's a lie, because it'll sit down inside you and grow roots. And we hear the word, man, they're bound up. Bound up. So we know that time heals nothing. Listen, your body was created to heal on the outside. You get cut, it heals, right? But on the inside, you will not heal unless Jesus puts his thumb and heals you. Yeah, right. Spiritually, inside, what's inside? Listen, if you're messed up spiritually, it will affect you physically.
That's true.
You ever stress out about something, you get sick? That's common sense thinking. Same thing spiritually. If you jacked up a little bit on the inside, it will affect you on the outside and affect relationships on the outside. And the more hurts that pile up inside you, the more weird you get. You don't mean to be. You don't mean to be that way. You just can't fix it. I'm going to share with you how God healed me and restored me, because we know that God reveals and to heal. Growing up, I didn't know how to deal with pain, so I didn't. Most guys, we don't know how to deal with pain. Women, they're a little better at us, right? But guys, we say, I'm good. Guys, you ever say, I'm good? Well, I was good, I thought. But that pain that I was dealing with affected me, how I treated others, affected my friends. In fact, one of my closest friends, Christian, shared with me about a while back. We were talking, and he goes, remember, Terry, when we were growing up, I said, we used to play all the time. I said, yeah. And he goes, you know why you stopped coming over to my house? I said, why? And he goes, my mom told me that Terry's not allowed here anymore. And I said, oh, that was weird. He goes, you were messed up. I was messed up, but I didn't know how to fix myself, and it came out in my behavior. I was always into things. I was taking stuff that didn't belong to me. I was a mess, but I didn't know how to do it. I was also super competitive. There's nothing wrong with being competitive. The other day, I was playing with dominoes with Brother Eric, and he was cheating, and I didn't care. Listen, I didn't care if he had to do that to win. I didn't care. Now, if that would have happened when I was younger, I would have had a problem with that. He wasn't cheating. He's just really good at dominoes, by the way. But I was a horrible loser. I didn't know why I was a horrible loser. Usually you see the baby behavior I had with the five-year-old. You ever seen a five-year-old cry and throw a fit? I was a senior in high school playing football. After one of the games we lost, I'll still remember this, this girl named Lisa comes up to me. She goes, why do you act the way you do? I didn't know why I acted that way. I knew it was embarrassing, but I couldn't stop it. I didn't know why I had to be the best, why I had to win at everything. And I would stomp you out in ping pong, tennis, foosball. It didn't matter. I was going to win. I didn't know why I had this unhealthy competitiveness. You see, the devil loves for you to work in extremes. If you got some unresolved pain, you'll find yourself working in extremes. It's like the devil will push that button and you do the little monkey clap. He loves to see Christians dance to his tune. But when God touches and heals that, you don't do the monkey dance. You do God's dance. Amen? Got to stop doing the monkey dance. If you recognize you do the monkey dance, invite Jesus in that area. Ask him to reveal, why do I act that way? And sometimes you need a pastor to or a close disciple friend to go to and, you know, say, hey, listen, I don't know why, would you pray with me? But God's going to speak to us this morning, right? So I didn't understand why I had to win at everything. And I was actually at a church conference. I was a pastor at this time. So you can understand, pain travels years. I'm still competitive. Unhealthy competitive. And I'm a pastor. But I'm at a conference and the pastor's preaching on inner healing like this. And he goes, we're going to push pause. Would you ask the Lord to show you anything he wants to talk to you about? I thought I was good. I said, okay, Lord, would you show me? And it was like this movie reel went off in my head of what actually took place and the lie I believed and what affected me for years. You see, when I was young, my parents divorced when I was 4. And when you're little, all you want is mom and dad. You don't get divorced, right? All I knew is my dad. I lived with my mom. My dad picked me up once a month. He lived in L.A. My mom had moved to the country. And I would go to, dad would pick me up once a month, and I'd go to his house and have a great time. I love my dad. He's the most loving man. Still to this day, we talk weekly. But my dad would take me back to our little country house. And I remember chasing my dad. He'd drop us off and I would cry and chase him. But I didn't know this took place. And so what God showed me, and this reel went off, I'm seeing this little kid, little 4-year-old kid, which was me, a 5-year-old at the time. And my dad drops me off and I see me chasing my dad down the dirt road. And that's the presence of God. Anyways, So I'm chasing my dad down the dirt road, what God is showing me, and I can see my dad's eyes in the rearview mirror. And in that moment, the devil whispered, if you were good enough, he'd want you. I'm a pastor, and this gets revealed to me. That's why forever I'm dealing with this. But no one ever taught a message like this to teach me what it means to walk yourself and meet with Jesus to get some inner healing. So I said, Lord, what do I do with that? I know now why I have to win at everything. I can't win my dad's love. He already loved me. The lie was, you got to win. He already loved me. He's the most loving man. He said, I want you to cancel that assignment that you came in agreement with, because I had come in agreement with the lie. So I said, in the name of Jesus, I cancel that assignment that I'm not good enough. And then I said, Lord, how do you see me? Because it's important. You see yourself out. He goes, you're beautifully, Terry, and wonderfully made. Amen. My heart got healed in that moment. Now I can lose in dominoes, and I don't got a problem with that. I'm still competitive, but it's not this unhealthy. Are you with me? God wants his disciples like Peter. He will meet you and heal you. Amen? Amen. So Jesus reveals to heal. Fast forward to the other testimony now felt like the Lord showed me to share with you guys today. You tell me, I grew up in California and I played football, and there are a lot of Christians in California. Don't take the bait that there's not. Grew up in California, we love Jesus, and we're playing football in college. I was playing football in college, and they did this big article in the Orange County paper. I had a picture of myself and Tanya and Garrett, my son, and the title said something like, quarterback chooses Jesus or chooses his faith. It was the front page of the paper, and it was all about how we're trying our best to follow Jesus. Amen. And the problem was with that, it was at that moment my coach's heart towards me kind of shifted. It was the weirdest thing. It didn't matter how many touchdowns I threw or how well I played, right? He just stopped talking to me. And I knew something was up. I thought I offended him. I didn't know what. But it was after we played Mississippi State. I still remember this conversation. He calls me into his office and he says, I'm benching you and we're going with Chad. And I'm thinking, benching me for what? And he goes, I want a quarterback that will take charge in the huddle, that will cuss and scream kind of like a biker. No offense if you ride a bike. He was talking like a Hell's Angel kind of personality. And I said, that's not me. That's not me. And you know that's not me. Now, at that point, I knew that his heart had shifted and God was shutting the door there, and we needed to transfer. I needed to go to someplace else. So I sent film out, and a school in Oklahoma offered me a scholarship on Monday, and they said, you got to be here by Thursday. Tanya and I said bye to all our family with their only grandchild. We had $400 in our pocket. We drove to Oklahoma City, didn't know anything about Oklahoma. I watched my wife cry almost all the way there. And I was angry. But I get to college and I meet my new coaches and I'm trying to walk in forgiveness. You ever thought you forgive somebody and then your button gets pushed and you realize, oh boy, you didn't forgive them. So I'm playing football, but no coaches were going to hurt me like those ones did, so I kept them all at a distance. You see, pain will cause you to function in extremes. So I'm talking to these coaches, they're showing me the plays, and then they want to talk to me after the practice to kind of work on a relationship. And I gave them the stiff arm. Nope, I got to go home to my wife and my kid. But I'm not dealing with coaches that could hurt me again, right? So I got this issue. Didn't know I had an issue until about a month later. I'm watching football, and I didn't know my coach had taken a new spot. So he's at another college, and I'm watching the game, and all of a sudden they zoom in on my coach. And I said, I hate that guy. I hate him. And the Holy Spirit said this. He said, how far will you travel before you'll forgive him? Boy, you talk about conviction. It convicted me. I wasn't a pastor. I was just a Christian at 21 years old. And I said, Lord, I ask forgiveness for holding on to that unforgiveness. Forgive me. And then I said, what do I do now? And he said, I want you to start blessing him. So I began to bless him. I bless him daily. I bless him. I was going to bless him till my heart got right. And I started blessing him and his family. In fact, I blessed him too much because he got pretty good and he beat OU in a bowl game. I'm not playing years later. Anyway, so my point is this. If you have pain inside, it will affect you and affect relationships around you. And you have an assignment to fish for men, but it's hard to fish for men when you've got a broken heart. Are you with me? But we serve a good God, and he moves in power and authority, and he can take your busted up broken heart in an area, because you can be a solid Christian. And you can take that broken heart all the way into heaven, but God didn't want that for you. Yeah. Right. He wants you to call the kingdom of God down now. He says, call for the kingdom of God. Well, what's in the kingdom of God? Peace, love, joy, wholeness, restoration. Yeah. So I'm calling the kingdom of God down now on earth so I can be a free disciple. Yeah. And when God reveals something in my walk, here's what I do. Every morning I ask the Lord, Lord, would you reveal anything you want to show me? Because you can get a wounded, and it doesn't matter. You're 75 years old, and if someone hurts you or stops calling you, or you hear people gossiping about you or whatever, that can create a wound if you're not careful. So every morning I do some inner healing with myself. I say, Lord, is there anything you want to show me? Sometimes he shows me stuff, sometimes he does not. Either way, I'm his. Amen. Amen. So here's some signs of a person that has some undealt with pain, because here's some behaviors. What's on the inside will come out, right? You can become critical. You can become a negative person. These are hurts that haven't been resolved. This is the behavior that comes from it. You can have unbelief when God tells you to do something. Bitterness, unforgiveness, hatred. You can have a victim mentality, right? You can blame other people. You have shame, condemnation, phobias, obsessive fear. And this is a big one, critical of leadership. Critical of leadership. I've seen many people that were never supposed to leave Listen, Peter wasn't supposed to leave his assignment. Yeah. He went back to familiar because he was hurt inside. There are a lot of people that have left churches that are never supposed to leave a church. Yeah. Right? But they have undealt with pain and they become critical towards decisions that a pastor or leaders make. Yeah. And I would say it's because it's undealt with pain. Most of the time, these are over little things that haven't been dealt with, and they have this hurt filter, and they see something happen, and they run it through that filter, and they begin to become critical towards a leader, an elder or a leader or something, and then they leave churches, only to find out a year later they have that same spirit that follows them, and they do the same thing to that church. Yeah. And they church hop, and they always think it's another church. But I'm telling you right now that God wants to deal with us. He doesn't want broken disciples. He wants healed, fully restored, living a life of peace and joy. Aren't you glad that God loves us that much? Amen. God wants to reveal, to heal. Look at Matthew 5:4. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Look at the paraphrase. Blessed, happy are those who turn their pain toward God, for their pain will be vindicated, understood, and totally healed, therefore producing lasting comfort and peace. Who wants the peace of God in their life? Amen. Who's tired of dealing with stuff? Yeah. Listen, God says, cast all your cares and all your burdens, pain is a burden, on him. You're not a mule. Mules are designed to carry things. We're not mules. We're more like sheep. Amen? If you're carrying past pain, God is saying today, give it to him so you can run the race he's called you to run. Look at Ezekiel 36, verse 26. Pain will cause you to get a hard heart too in certain areas of your life. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. Amen. Would you close your eyes? I'm going to ask you the same question that years ago a pastor asked me. Would you just ask the Lord to show you anything that he wants to show you? We serve a God that speaks. We serve a God that heals. So Holy Spirit, would you show us this morning, is there anything that we're carrying that you want us to give you? Anything from our past, even anything in our present that we're dealing with that you want us to give to you? Would you just speak to us? We're just pushing pause here for a moment. We're giving space for you to speak. So just ask Jesus, is there anything that you want to show me right now? Because he's here to deal with hearts today. If the Lord just showed you something, would you just say in your heart, this is between you and the Lord right now. Just tell the Lord, Lord, would you heal my broken heart in this area? Just ask him to heal your heart in this area, to take that burden. Lord, would you take that burden from me? Take that pain from me. And then here's the exchange. I want you to ask the Lord to fill you full of his love and his peace. So Holy Spirit, would you fill us with your love and your peace? And your wholeness. You're so good. Maybe you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You've never asked him to be your Lord and Savior. You've gone to church. You have 3 or 4 Bibles. That don't make you a follower, a disciple of Jesus. He's about a relationship. So if you're here today, you've never asked Jesus to be the Lord of your life, would you do that right now? He's knocking. He's present. He's here. And if that's you today, if you're saying, I want to become a follower of Jesus, in a moment when we stand back up, we're going to have a prayer team up here. And it's open. Our altar is going to be open. Our prayer team is going to be open. I want you to go meet with somebody, because don't leave here today not knowing Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Amen?